This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, head over to bigheadsmedia.com. Hi there, folks, and welcome to the Thousand Year Bleach Cast. It's a podcast focused on the multimedia franchise known as Bleach. I'm your host, Swanson. With me, as always, is my co-host and, snake creature.
I'm like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I'm like a pterodactyl or something.
Yeah. And with us this week is our guest co-host and secret furry.
Oh.
Elgato, to be specific.
Woof. I'm not sure it's a secret based on the DMs I received.
Yeah, you threw me for a loop with the whole furry reveal thing.
She was going to be the black guy.
I thought I was going to do a Seto Kaiba impression, but then I had to think of how I might act if I was a furry. And
wait, what character Seto Kaiba did you think was being set up here?
I just always have that in my back pocket, the Seto Kaiba impression. You did.
I'm secretly a furry now.
Yes.
You're a third-rate Shinigami with a fifth-rate Zanpakuto.
All right.
The only thing weaker than your spiritual pressure is your grandfather's deck.
Elgato Bagina is here again, not to be confused with our dearly departed L, fourth host of TV Tuners, our main feed podcast.
Yes.
You sound like L, but you're not, as Stairmaster has implored me numerous times.
And you look like L wearing sunglasses.
It's a situation that is very much like Twin Peaks, where I am actually L's cousin, and I look identical to L, and I just wear these big 90s glasses.
We don't write TV Tuners in advance. We just make it up as we film it, just like David Lynch.
That's right, yeah.
How would they have ever guessed that if you hadn't told them? You gave away that prized secret,
Bleep me out.
And much like David Lynch, we don't like focusing on the ladies unless it's real weird.
So, Elf, how's your sex life?
What a story, Mark.
Living the dream.
Does anyone ever say living the dream when asked about their sex life?
It's more
one
like,
person has, and he was the happiest human being to ever live.
Oh, yeah.
Living the dream, more like dreaming the live. Am I right?
I assume it's the one guy who got a polycule working. That's the guy who was living the dream.
The Kwisatz Haderach. The Paul Muad'Dib of having multiple partners. He finally unlocked the cosmic puzzle of polyamory.
I assume this is some Dune BS.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of Dune, there's a big worm in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
what?
Is there? Wait, hold on.
The sword turns into a big worm, and it roars.
Yeah. I was messaging Star, and I was like, holy crap, this dude just summoned a dinosaur. This is like that one.
It's just like Dune.
It's just like that one Yu-Gi-Oh card that I can't remember the name of now. But it's like dinosaur.
Skull Warrior.
No, I don't think it's that one.
Skull Greymon.
No, Skull Greymon.
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
No, it's the one that's like a
dead ass White Dragon.
Oh my god. wet ass white dragon. anyway,
wet ass dark magician girl. Oh, you can find that if you're interested in that character concept. I recommend going to danbaru.donmay.us.
I knew you were gonna say that.
But welcome to the Bleach Cast, Al.
Thank you.
And I'm being told that you have no prior experience to Bleach before this episode.
Correct. It's one of those many things that I was perfectly aligned in my age group to have experienced it when I was growing up, but I just never did. It's kind of similar to how, you know, whenever I would reveal in class growing up that I had never seen the film Forrest Gump, everyone would turn their heads dramatically and gasp at me.
Why is that a thing? I still haven't seen Forrest Gump, and nobody gives me shit about that.
I don't.
Well, now Forrest Gump is not in the zeitgeist anymore. No one gives a shit about the movie Forrest Gump.
But the time
when we were like children, Forrest Gump was on TV like every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we have to talk about it, though. Nobody was talking about it in my middle school.
Well, also, everyone's parents were like in some space between Boomer and Gen X, so they were all like, you've got to watch this movie.
Yeah.
No.
It's about history.
No, my mom was just like, you need to see True Lies.
Damn.
Schwarzenegger and Bill Paxton and Jamie Lee Curtis, and that was pretty badass, I'm not going to lie.
You need to appreciate the techno proficiency of James Cameron.
Peak of James Cameron.
Yeah, before he just goes off the freaking deep end.
Literally goes into the water.
You know, Stanley Kubrick hung out with James Cameron for his like 90-something birthday, and all he wanted to do was ask him how he pulled off the special effects in True Lies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is such a stare fact. That is such a stare fact because it's about
affirming.
It's about like a supposedly great artist like lowering himself to caring about like these like fast food blockbuster action movies.
That's why I like Gundam so much, because it's entirely that energy.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So we'll probably be talking a lot in this episode about your sort of first experiences, because this is a wild first like couple episodes to jump in. But hey, you know, this is as far as we know, Keo is still dead as of this recording, so we don't know what happened to him.
I'm pressing F.
He's gone to Soul Society. Or hell, one of the two.
Actually, he's in the Shadow Realm, but as you know,
that's hell.
There are very few ways to get people out of the Shadow Realm. You know, it requires a lot of negotiating with, you know, dark spirits. And
have you ever watched the Season 0 of Yu-Gi-Oh? Where there's
hardly
any dual monsters until the second half?
I would really like to watch that, but I have not watched that.
Yeah, it's badass. Joey fights a guy with a chainsaw, a serial killer with a chainsaw.
Whoa, this guy's got a chainsaw!
Yeah, Seto Kaiba just locks him up in this room and has him attached by chains. Sort of like that one part in JoJo.
Hey, Joey, watch out! He's gonna get you!
And then Tristan seemingly dies during real-life Tetris. Also a game set up by Kaiba.
See,
I might have talked about this before on the podcast, but my enduring memory of Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. is those CDs that you used to get in like McDonald's Happy Meals with the Yu-Gi-Oh! songs on them.
Oh, interesting.
And one of them has Taya, and she's like about to sing, but in the like at the very beginning, when Taya's like, "Everybody, listen up," Tristan's like, "What gives, Taya?
How you doing, you ladies, and you're singing?"
And that Tristan saying that is my like everlasting memory of any character who wasn't Yugi, Kaiba, or Pegasus in that show.
That's fair.
So Pegasus, good queer representation or bad queer representation?
Well, I want to say it's a mixed bag. I mean, I'm a tune in on it because because
there we go, the one gay person on this.
It does use the trope of queering villains, which is a no-no, and it's, you know, a 90s cartoon thing. But at the same time, he is just so fabulous, and he proves that you can be like a billionaire and just kind of live on your own
and have sex with other men.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Just as long as you have a token dead wife to mourn about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we all know that wife was a beard.
I can't be gay unless I revive her. That's what it was. Finally, his motives revealed.
Yugi, you don't understand. I need her blessing before I can go to Pound Town.
Anyways, yeah, this week in Bleach, we picked the episodes without the gig stuff. That's like next week or the week after, unfortunately.
Yeah. There's almost zero gay things going on in this episode.
Well, there is a big bear wolf man. Dog man.
Yeah, but does he do anything gay?
No. Yeah. He's friends with another man, so that's gay by default.
Yeah, I guess in the world of Bleach, being friends with another man is almost enough to be gay.
Yeah.
So, actually, before we get into it, Al, so you never had, like, a moment where someone was like, oh, Bleach is so awesome, you should check it out, other than, like, Stare, probably?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was going to make a joke about how I feel like I'm still in middle school because, you know, I have Stare.
Well, we're all stunted.
I have the man-child Stare, you know, constantly in my ear saying things like, oh, Bleach is so awesome, but, but no, I never really had
what
that.
What did you do with your life during this time?
I didn't even watch Dragon Ball, you know, growing up.
What were you doing?
I don't know. I had mental problems, and so it was hard for me to concentrate. So I spent a lot of time doing homework. It took me a lot of time. I mean, I did pretty well in school, but it's...
the homework doer.
And then when I wasn't doing that, I was listening to Linkin Park and Nickelback and Nine Inch Nails.
Oh.
No.
But see, if you'd watched Bleach, you could have put clips of that show to those songs.
That would have been based.
Like, imagine a clip of, like, Ichigo getting ready to, like, power up. And you're playing, like, I came so far. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's start with this first episode we watched, as we all should, titled Renji, Oath of the Soul, Deathmatch with Byakuya.
Fun fact, these two episodes were originally aired as a 1-hour special.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
But since we're in 2020, we watched them as two separate episodes.
Yes, as God intended. But it's interesting, a death match with Byakuya. Do you think they bring out like the cinder blocks and the panes of glass?
Yeah. Sort of. There is a lot of environmental destruction going on.
We got Cactus Jack and we got Vader and they're just fucking going at it and they're just
They got Jim Ross in the corner being like, "My God, Reggie's dead."
With God as my witness, that man is torn in half. My God,
his sword just shattered in half.
My God, can Byakuya be stopped?
I've never seen the spiritual pressure at this level before. This is two professionals.
What in blazes? A level 60 Hado spell.
He's disrupting his Zanpakuto.
And then Jerry Lawler is just like, ah!
Yeah. Well, Jerry Lawler would be restless the whole time because there's no women for him to stare at and sexualize.
Look at the puppies!
Swanson's so happy to finally have someone who truly gets wrestling references.
Yes, it will always have a special place in my heart.
So we get into it here. Ichigo still training.
He's still in that dank cave.
There's a cool little bit here where there's like 50 Zangetsus just like staring them down and they're like, you have failed.
Yeah, so Ichigo's like fighting to achieve Bankai, and to do that he has to like find the source of his mental strength, and there's a bunch of swords that are his insecurities that look like his Zanpakuto and shatter easily.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's cool. That's why we get hardly any time with them these last couple of episodes.
See, I was a bit confused because I thought he was like in a battle for his life. I mean, you could make that argument.
Oh, I mean, he could die if he fucks up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean, I thought he was like genuinely going against an opponent who was like out to kill him or something. But instead, he's like, oh, it's actually just training, but it's just so intense that, you know.
So that third episode must have really fucked you up.
Yeah, I just want to say that throughout these episodes, I definitely got the impression that these are a lot of people who are fighting each other who are probably not supposed to normally be fighting each other. Like all these people were probably in relative harmony for like the vast majority of the beginning of the show, and now everything is just coming the fuck apart.
Yeah, that's basically like a civil war about to break out by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels very much like America 2020.
Yeah.
So yeah, Renji, meanwhile, he was training with Ichigo in that dark, dank cave, but
he's done
as
now.
We learn, yeah, he's done now.
We didn't get to see any of it, though.
No. It just cut, and he was done.
Yeah, they don't want to see his Bankai, but they also spoiled it in this new opening.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about this new opening. New opening kicks ass. It's awesome. Okay. Cool shit.
Yeah, it's like, we went from some, like some Dragon Force-style rock metal to... Cornish. Baby metal. It's a lot of,
I don't know. It's cool. It's also way better visually than the last theme in that, like, you get cool shots of, like, fucking, like, Chad sitting next to, like, a hole in the wall. Ichigo and Byakuya are facing off.
We get a bunch of, like, Eldritch abominations at the end.
Yeah.
That we get no explanation for.
And we probably never will.
So, oh, that's yeah, the Minas Grande.
Oh, yeah, that's also there. I would say that that it kicks ass, and that I'm a fan, and it's good.
It's okay.
That's it. I would say it's probably... I mean, nothing is going to compare to that first intro.
That I forgot to show Al.
It's like God tier. Al should look it up. Later.
Yeah, go look it up right now.
Not right now. Because it's like opening to Yu Yu Hakusho levels of like classic. Ooh. Like,
yeah, like, oh, I know what the show's about.
That's a strong recommendation.
We don't get it, doesn't quite reach that level, but the song's kind of cool, and Ichigo gets to do some cool posing.
Anyways, nice. So yeah, Renji's out and about, and he's fucking everyone up on his way to the Tower of Penance.
Yeah.
We get this twink borderline femboy who's pleading with him to stop his rampage.
Yeah.
Who Renji just ignores. And he's
like, I cannot.
I think he had like one line like 20 episodes ago.
Please.
Back at the start of the arc.
Renji, stop your rage. Stop your rampage.
Yeah. Basically, it's a lot of people being like, Renji, why? And he's like, whatever. So yeah, Renji comes in and Byakuya shows up. Yes. And Byakuya is just like, well, what are you doing? And he's like,
there's
I'm
literally
going to save Rukia.
Yeah, but Byakuya confronts Renji in like the hallway at the end of Undertale where the Genosei
yeah.
has his final boss.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much. My favorite part is that Renji's like, I'm going to go free Rukia. And then Byakuya is just like, no.
Yeah. You may not, literally.
You will not.
You may not.
I definitely
do not allow it.
Shout out to the peeps who, you know, made this show and animated it and who wrote it, because they made it rhetorically very clear that Byakuya is like just a stone cold motherfucker.
yeah it's pretty
who doesn't even think of Renji as human until like the end of this episode, despite knowing him for decades.
Now, did the sort of like class difference between these two people become apparent to you at all in this episode, Al?
In terms of the classic Marxian definition of the term, or in terms of the like power level?
Well, power level, I would hope, is real clear.
Well, one of them was born in a ghost favela.
Yeah, like the real fucked up thing about Soul Society is that there's still a class system.
It's basically Brazil.
Yeah,
like there's a whole arc when Ichigo first shows up to the Soul Society where they're in like a literal slum, and Ichigo's like, man, this sure sucks, but I won't do anything about it.
So basically the kind of the same disposition that Goku has about a lot of things.
There's a lot of talk about the editors forcing Kubo to have the Soul Society guys be part of the main cast, and that's why Soul Society never gets critiqued after this arc.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the end, it turns out Aizen was right.
Isinu does not appear at all in this episode or any of the other two.
Well, of course he's not appearing, Snowmaster.
Yes, he's dead.
And he'll never come back.
Yeah, Isinu was one of the captains. He got assassinated. And nobody knows who did it.
Oh.
Yeah. Although there's a lot of suspects.
He got stabbed with his own sword, which is crazy considering how strong all the captains in these episodes are. Who could have done it?
We'll never know.
If you have answer, email us at tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll read it on air.
There's a lot of back and forth between Byakuya and Renji, and then Renji unleashes his Bankai.
Oh yeah, we get a bit where Byakuya's about to unleash his sword, but Renji does the sword whip thing without saying anything. And Byakuya's like, have you achieved?
I love that. I love that so much, and I'll explain why, because it's like they somewhat know the logic of like a shonen show, and it's like the way that you get a leg up on an opponent that you know is stronger than you is to go against tradition and not announce your attack before you make it.
Yeah, but it's sort of like canonized, since not announcing the attack is part of the hallmark of achieving a higher level of power.
That's true. That's actually true. So that was a really good way of actually writing that into the making that actually into the canon.
Fuck. So yeah, Renji's like, listen, I've achieved Bankai. And like, I guess they don't mention how big of an accomplishment this actually is.
Yet.
Because
there is like six or eight episodes from now, Byakuya will mention that anyone who does it gets their name like engraved on a slab and recorded in all Soul Society history. And like the great noble families only have one guy like every couple hundred years who can do it.
I bet they neglected to do that to Ichigo, though, even though he also achieves it, right?
I think they forgot. I think Kubo forgot about it.
But yeah, the whole thing here, Al, is that no one has, like, it takes years for people to actually achieve Bankai, but Renji did it in like 3 days.
Oh, he's been doing...
Presumably he's been doing it longer, but like, still, he
achieved
it. We only
saw those 3 days, so that's what counts in the viewer's mind.
So what you're saying is, it was very similar to the sham that was fed to us by Disney's handling of Star Wars.
So Renji's a Mary Sue? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We didn't see him train. We only saw that he was about to train.
Are you a Mary Sue if you lose every fight you're in?
No, probably not. So yeah, Byakuya does this like bit of bragging where he's like, yeah, whatever, dude, you're not going to even bring me to a single knee, bitch. And Renji's like, we'll see about that.
So yeah, Renji's Bankai, giant snake, like 13, like Gundam size, like multiple stories long.
And as Byakuya learns when he goes to use his Shikai on him, this snake is connected at the joints by his spiritual pressure. So he can just sort of disconnect it whenever. It's pretty cool. Byakuya
gets knocked to his knees.
Yeah. And Renji's like, hey, look at that. A moral victory for me, who will lose soon.
And Byakuya's pissed.
Yeah.
Like, more pissed than when Ichigo showed up a couple episodes ago. Yeah, this is where he starts whipping out the magic. And Renji has no answer to it whatsoever.
No. And this is another thing that happens a lot in Bleach, which is that they fight in these like huge empty spaces that are just presumably in the Soul Society just to be destroyed and rebuilt. there's this long hallway that we've never seen before that is just sort of here so that that Renji and Byakuya can just destroy everything around them.
This is at least like you could assume it's for like a ceremony since there's all these pillars and stuff. Usually it's just these weird warehouses, feudal warehouses that get smashed through, empty sheds and whatnot. Yeah, we've talked about how Soul Society is basically ghost San Francisco with a bunch of empty.
Yeah. And much like San Francisco, it's way too expensive to live there. So yeah, Byakuya starts bringing out the magic. He like impales Renji with this like magic spell that he does.
Oh yeah, it's the binding spell that traps him like an energy flower.
Yeah.
He doesn't even do it. He doesn't even do an incantation. He just says the name of the spell, and that's enough to stun him, make him completely powerless.
And Vyaki's like, "Well, you did okay, kid, but you forgot that I too have Bankai."
So it's funny.
So he unleashes his Bankai.
Funny because Rukia, one of the main characters of the show, is constantly doing magic and failing to accomplish anything whatsoever.
Meanwhile, that's the thing that's so weird about it, yeah.
Meanwhile, our older brother is just like the savant, unstoppable, John Wick levels of lethal.
He never bothered to show her the ropes. So what I get from Byakuya here, and we get a lot of Bankai in the next couple episodes here, and what I'm getting from them in general is that they're sort of like the FMVs that would play in like PS1 era Final Fantasy summons.
Yes. They're like big weapons you're supposed to destroy armies with.
Yeah.
Instead of a sword.
But they only use it for one-on-one combat.
Yes. So Byakuya has like this cool visual. Every thing turns black. I think that's non-diegetic, but his sword like scatters and a bunch of swords appear behind him and they scatter into a million blades.
Yeah, he's got like a sea of blades.
A blade ocean.
Yeah.
Blade ocean!
It's honestly badass.
And Renji just gets fucking eviscerated so much that they have to turn things to black and white real quick so the violence isn't too much.
Yeah, and Byakuya immediately is like, "Impressive, you've retained the form of a human being despite being..."
I have to say that I in this very short time that I had been introduced to Renji, I was like, hey, I like really kind of like this character, but at the same time, I was also rooting for him to like get killed by Byakuya because I wanted, like, for some reason I wanted Bleach to like prove itself to me that it had that like grimdark
stakes,
that it had that grimdark stakes and pedigree to
it. I got bad news for you.
Yeah, it turns out Tite Kubo is not a big fan of killing off characters, but he loves introducing them.
But neither are his editors. I think the popular... Yeah.
So he's like Toriyama, then.
No, Toriyama will kill people off.
Well, he will, but he loves... what he loves more than killing people is making the bad guys into good guys and introducing new characters. So.
Oh...
Yeah, Bleach does do that as well.
Well, you know, Bleach only got started because Akira Toriyama sent Kubo Taito a letter of encouragement after his pilot chapter got rejected.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we all know who to blame for this.
That's right. Renji goes down in like a pile of blood. Yes.
And fun fact, this is more violent in the manga.
I was going to say, usually these scenes seem to be more violent than the manga. Is this just like a sea of blood? What's going on here in the manga?
Yeah, he's like bleeding everywhere. He's drenched in it. Instead of like in the anime where you can just, he's kind of got like dribbles of it on him.
Yeah.
And there's like a pool of blood beneath him as well in the manga.
So he's lying there, and Byakuya decides to give him the spiel on how Bankais work, where it's like, it takes, like, after achieving it, it takes so long, because it's so unwieldy.
Yes.
That you have to, like, try and master it.
Because it's not a normal weapon, makes sense. It's a giant snake, not a sword.
He has this absolutely brutal line where he's like, "Your fang will never reach me."
Oh, yes. Yeah, he compares him to a baboon swatting at the reflection of the moon in the water.
Yeah.
That was really badass.
That's where the class thing like really becomes clear, where he's like, "I'm like noble and you're a fucking plebe."
Did you know, Swanson, that in Japanese, the reflection of the moon in the water can translate to Kayoka Suigetsu?
Oh.
I'm sure that won't amount to anything later.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll bring it up, hopefully, when it does.
So, yeah, he's like, "Farewell, bitch." And he turns around, and Renji's like, "I can't breathe." And he gets up anyways and tries to stab Byakuya one last time.
Is this the part where they have the, secondly, where they intercut between him and Ichigo?
Yes, he has like a new type moment with Ichigo. Yeah. Where he's channeling Ichigo's inner monologue for himself to get pumped up.
Yeah. And there's like a bit here where he's running towards Byakuya, and Byakuya's like, nope, and hits him with this big old spell. And he gets like a bunch of swords just in, like stab this guy.
In the arm, pinning him to the ground.
Yeah. And he mentions that it's like he's turning into ash, which is, yeah, that's a pretty brutal description. So then he has this intercut new type moment, as you said, with Ichigo, where Ichigo is also getting his ass kicked by all these Zangetsus, but they're like, we made a promise.
To no one and but myself.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass, too.
So he gets up and he makes his way towards.
Yeah, he rips the swords out of his arm.
Yeah.
And manages to like stab him, but his sword breaks because his spiritual pressure gives out at the last second and he drops dead.
Yeah. And there's this like really cold bit here where Byakuya was like, yeah, you did good.
No,
not good
like,
enough.
It's like your fang has finally reached me. And he gives away his scarf. Like, that's like the ultimate sign of respect.
Is that what he's going for? Because he does just sort of drape it over him and leave.
Well, listen, the warrior aristocrats of feudal Japan were kind of fucked up, Swanson.
I guess that's true. Yeah, it's real dope. And then it ends with, like, Rukia's getting sent to her execution, and she notices that Renji's spiritual pressure is dimmed.
And then our favorite character shows up.
Yeah, our boy Gin. Now, I'm real curious, Al. What did you think the moment this guy appears?
Oh yeah,
the white-haired
guy
who's always smiling.
Yeah. I was like, okay. First of all, I was trying to figure out if it was racist or not. and then I was like, oh man, yeah, this is the classic.
No, this is the one shown in that's not racist. Yeah. They get positive black representation.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Hispanics.
He's one of those guys that's just like, you know, seemingly, you know, he'll twist the blade in you after he's stuck it in, and he just wants to watch the life drain from your eyes or whatever. Just one of those sick, sick folks.
Yeah, I want to marry him.
He's basically like the Joker.
Gin Ichimaru is what happens when you get 100% Joker-fied. Mm.
See also Legado Blue Summers, possibly one of the greatest villains of all time. Very, very much Joker-fied.
I assume this is more Xenogears.
No, he's from Trigun. No.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
He's a pretty good villain. Man, you know, I need to rewatch Trigun sometime.
Yeah, let's just watch Trigun instead of Bleach.
I mean, much shorter.
I'll watch it with you, Stare.
Aww.
Yeah, Trigun's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's my favorite anime.
So what's the title of this episode?
Yeah, so that's the end of that one. We cut back, and it's time for episode 2, Gin Ichimaru's Temptation, Resolution Shattered.
Starring William Dafoe as Rukia.
Temptation is weird here. Is the idea that he's tempting her, or because they make it possessive, so it's his temptation? He's not tempted at all in this.
I don't know. I think if Rukia had said yes to his offer, he would have obliged her.
Just well, she doesn't get a chance to say anything.
Well, she's that's her fault.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was not intending on doing anything about that. So he says, oh, hey there, Rukia, how's it going? What's going on, pal? You look like you're in a bad situation.
And Rukia just like, all my life, I've always feared but also loathed this man.
Yeah, like, she's like, I have never liked this man.
And the first time he spoke to me, I felt a unique mixture of fear, terror, and disgust.
Yeah, and it was at this point where I had to wonder, what kind of relationship could they possibly have had leading up to this moment where she would see, you know, hide her disgust for him and then also feel compelled to address him with respect while she's being led to her own death. Like,
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
This is also their first on-screen interaction.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well, she also grew up in a society that was all like, you have to respect all these captains who are half like complete shitbags.
Yeah, yeah.
But also complete physical gods who the average peasant would just die if they tried punching.
So, yeah, Ruki is like, there's one thing I know about Gin Ichimaru, it's that he's a snake. And when you hear Rukia talking about snakes, she's talking about Gin.
Yeah, it's not Viper, the Rambler.
No. Gin does this bit here where he's like, you know, you and all of the people who have come to rescue you, I could save you right now, if that's what you want. And he's like, nah.
Yeah.
Gin remains like the history's greatest troll.
Just... Because Rukia spends like the opening of the ending of that last episode just monologuing how she's not afraid to die, just a little bit sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And after this, she just starts bawling.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not sad. I'm just disappointed. That classic dick move by Gin there. Again, reminds me of, you know, characters like Legato who are just, they just literally the only thing keeps them going in life is just extracting the despair from other individuals, which is a good character archetype, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. And listen, if Gin Ichimaru is the man Stairmaster wants to marry from this show, then let us introduce the man that I want to marry from this show, Kenpachi Zaraki. So we get introduced to, Eld gets introduced to Kenpachi as he's fighting 2-on-1 with these guys. Just a complete, like, domination of these men.
This is where he suplexes Tosin.
Yeah.
The LeVar Burton looking samurai guy.
Yeah, and like Tozen gives this whole thing here where he's like, there are three ways to like pass the captain's exam. And the two are like some like weird rituals or whatever. And then the third one is you kill the former captain.
Yes.
And that's what Kenpachi did.
Epic.
And he's got this speech about how Kenpachi's an animal that needs to be put down. He doesn't hate him.
Yeah, he says that Kenpachi is unforgivable, which is pretty brutal for a guy who is introduced in the show as a pacifist.
Well, his blind eyes can only see the path of least bloodshed. Hell.
Well, that's what he says, yeah.
I just did a search to refresh my memory on who Kenpachi was, and I found the headline of an article called Bleach, 5 Reasons Why Zaraki Kenpachi is Overrated.
Oh, fuck that.
Oh, no.
I thought, man, Swanson would have a filter.
It's going to be a thing where he's like, hey, he's too powerful for the... Oh, he never gets to show Bankai.
Probably.
I don't know why every time I'm criticizing someone, I use Kermit the Frog's voice. But...
Oh, you mean Jordan Peterson? Oh, yeah, Al, to become a captain, you also need to achieve Bankai, except for Kenpachi. He doesn't even know the name of his sword.
If we did not have the chaotic feminine energy around us, we would all be able to achieve Bankai.
The fact is that women distract us far too much for us to ever concentrate.
I was trying to meditate on my sword, but then I saw Captain Unohana's Tukis Rumpus.
Rumpus?
I assume that's what Jordan Peterson would describe a butt as.
Yeah,
that's accurate, actually.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Tozen's like, all right, it's time to finish this. He unleashes his Bankai, and it is cool as shit.
It's Stephen King's The Dome.
Yeah, he puts him under the dome.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he blacks out everything. It's just this giant, like, bubble of darkness.
Mm-hmm. The rings from his Zanpa at the bottom of his little sword hilt become 5 giant rings that form a dome. And they also say, like, north, south, and some other stuff. Yeah, I didn't catch all of it.
And Kenpachi's just like sitting there getting pummeled by Tozen's blades. And then he doesn't seem to care. And like Tozen's like, this man's a demon.
Oh, yeah. So in the dome, you only retain your sense of touch. Everything else is gone. You can't even sense spiritual pressure.
Yeah.
But Kenpachi is still like managing to fight back in like minuscule ways. And he's like, this isn't, how's he doing this?
It's sort of like the Frank Grimes episode. But for sword fight, if it was a sword fight.
Yeah, I guess in a way, Tozen does sort of electrify himself at the end.
Interesting parallels. We love to see it.
And much like the Frank Grimes episode, this is sort of signaling a decline in the quality of Bleach.
Oh, yeah, this might be the peak. This might be the best stretch we're ever going to get.
Kenpachi has this whole bit here where Tozen keeps like hitting him, and each hit he gets close, his counterattacks get closer and closer to actually hitting him. We see not even any of a battle really, but a 6'9" guy and what's his name?
Yumachika.
Yumachika, the metrosexual, have this brief bit here where he's like, "Hey, listen, you know why I'm actually the 5 seat? It's because 5 is the closest to 3.
The prettiest of numbers in Japanese, apparently. Like, just what? 3 lines right. over. You know, the number 3 in Japanese is just 3 lines, horizontal lines on top of each other.
But also, I mean, I guess 5 is the closest to 3, but 6 is also pretty up there.
And 4 is
so bad yeah. Luck. Also, we get a confirmation the 4th seat is just vacant.
Yeah, apparently. He's just like, someone that's no. Like, if I were the 6th seed, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
I would be like, I could be up to number 5 right now.
Yeah, you'd probably get paid more as well. Because yeah. I don't think anyone below 5 even matters. Like, Hanataro was the 7th seed.
Yeah. So we don't get any of this fight, and we definitely don't get any of the fight with Akaku and the guy who he was like having a convo with last time.
Oh yeah, they're just really bloody. And they're talking about how heated things are getting. Yumachika tells... apparently got his ass kicked off screen, but wants a 69 guy to stay. And he gives this little spiel about how his division, the 11th, thinks magic is for losers. So people only have dumb swords that can cut people.
Yeah. Which I guess is what happens when you have Kenpachi sort of leading the charge.
It was probably like that before him.
Yeah, pretty fair. It's getting close to execution time.
Yeah, so wait, Yumachika says he has a secret sword ability, and his sword starts glowing, but we don't get to see what it is.
Yeah, hopefully we do someday.
That he politely asked 69 guy to keep secret from his friends, so they don't make fun of him.
What do you think it is, like a big giant dick?
No, that's fine, because with a giant dick, all you can do is swing it and thrust it like a sword.
That's true.
What sort of dick magic do you think exists, Swanson, that sword would have?
Dick magic. Probably like
it can make everyone who stares at it hard.
Yeah, like it makes everyone like uncontrollably hard. Like they don't know what to do.
Oh god, there's probably a hollow like that somewhere.
Yeah, like they just have to like they immediately just have to like ram it into the ground.
Oh no, the ramming stuff into the ground happens next episode, Swanson.
Oh yeah, you're right. We get this bit here where everyone before was like, "Oh no, is Renji dead?" And he's like, "Ha, no, losers.
Yeah,
Renji's fine. Someone cured him."
Yeah, it was definitely not Captain Milf.
No. Hanataro is here back again, and
yeah,
he's like,
"Hello."
He's
got sloppy seconds on the healing.
Yeah. Yeah, someone else healed them up real good. And healing. We get this weird bit here where Renji meets like this fanboy.
Oh yeah, the guy from the first episode this week.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's who this is. Okay.
Yeah, it's the twink from before.
Does he like show up again ever?
No. I think this is his last appearance.
That's even more baffling then.
He shows up to be like the start of the arc and got 2 lines of dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's just he shows up to be like, "Renji, you're so cool, and you should totally go save Rukia." Yeah.
I think he mentions like having tattoos styled after him since he's from the favela.
I seem to remember, like, the only thing I remember about that part, that admittedly very brief part, is that the fanboy guy says something like, "Look, I don't totally know what's going on, and I also think I totally disagree with you, but I think you're so cool that whatever you do, I'm just going to go with it."
Yeah, he's a total stan. It's,
yeah, he sounds like someone who's a big fan of Kamala Harris.
or I could be murdered for this.
Back to Kenpachi. And he's like pissed off that he has to do this strategy.
So he has like this internal monologue with his conception of what his lieutenants, his underlings are.
Yeah. And there's this bit where he's like,
it's kind of funny. I liked it.
I also liked it. It's just like this bit where he's like, ugh, I have to do all of this strategizing. It's more fun to just cut and slash.
Yeah. He's an adrenaline addict.
But yeah, he has this bit where he's like, what would my lieutenants think of this? And, he's got them all pretty down.
Yeah, true. Just like, just keep swinging! Yeah. Ah,
Man, Kenpachi's so fucking cool in this. So Tozen, he doesn't block at all this time, and Tozen just stabs him, and then he grabs his sword, and he's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, it's like a horror movie.
It really is.
It's like the one good scene in Justice League when the Flash is running around Superman and Superman just turns to look at him. Yeah. And it's like, oh no.
It's like especially terrifying because he's like, he doesn't even like finish him there. He's just like, next time you attack me, I'll know what to do, and then lets him go.
Well, he does cut him, just not fatally.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
And then we get like a real quick flash of some backstory for Tozen.
Yeah, Tim talking to a childhood friend on the hillside while the cicadas are buzzing, you know.
Yeah, you know, Japanese stuff.
Anime shit.
I think she said she's going to become a soul reaper to do justice and whatnot. I'm sure nothing bad happens to her.
Tozen has this, like, real... It's a pretty decent rationale for him, I think, where he's like, there's been no justice in this world, so I must become it. He's, like, even, like, a Batman origin.
Yeah, as he's having... He has this flashback because Kenpachi falls through on his threat and just cuts him almost in half.
Yeah.
And Dome explodes because he's so close to death.
God.
And he, as Byakuya helpfully pointed out, when someone's Bankai ceases, that means the person's close to death.
Mm. So, yeah, Tosin's just like, come on, kill me! Well, Kenpachi's like, I'm bored. I just wants to walk away and de-escalate the situation.
Come on, kill me! I'm here! Kill me!
And he puts his sword to Kenpachi's back, and Kenpachi's like, well, fine, if you really insist, I'll kill you. And then...
he, like, gives the biggest possible swing he could at this moment.
Yeah.
But, dramatically...
Buckethead comes in and makes the save.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, he blocks with his helmet and the arm gauntlet.
Yeah, and we start to see his helmet like start to break off, and we're like, ooh, are we going to see what's inside?
And we do.
Yeah, and he's a furry. He's a secret furry.
Yes, he's a furry. I was very excited to be introduced to a furry in the Bleach universe. I was like, ooh, this is a neat turn of events that just happened.
Do you want to guess when they explain why there's a furry, L?
I'm going to guess episode...
Never.
Nice.
they never explain it?
They just say that he's from the Beast Realm, and there's a couple of pages where he hangs out with his dad and rips his heart out to become temporarily human and unkillable.
What? The Beast Realm?
Yeah.
Sounds like...
So, hold on. We got the Soul Society. We got Earth. Hell.
Yes, and we got Waco Mundo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which hasn't been named, but has been shown.
We've got the Beast Realm.
Yeah.
That sounds like that thing from Yu Yu Hakusho, like the Demon Realm.
Yeah. Someone smarter than me said that Bleach's cosmology is based off of the Buddhist cosmology.
Interesting.
And they've got a Beast Realm?
They got like seven, you know, different types of hell, the one we live on. A good place, you know.
So yeah, he reveals that he's a furry, and Kenpachi, you know, pretty progressive in his stance here, where he's like, appearance doesn't mean jack shit. It's about what's inside, your strength.
But he also says, "I hope you have the strength of a dog."
Yeah,
like one. So that's no points at all, actually.
I mean, it's as progressive as you're going to get in Soul Society, that's for sure. he's like, listen. Tozen, he's a little soft boy. I'm not.
Yeah, this is like Batman talking about Superman.
Yeah.
Tozen, he listens to Drain Gang. I don't.
I listen to 100 Gex.
I listen to Helix Tears.
So yeah, he goes and he unleashes his Bankai, and it's just this like fucking giant
in samurai armor, like no yeah. samurai armor.
That was so badass.
It was so yeah, and yeah, then Kenpachi even
gets really horny.
Yeah, like extremely, and he has this fucking amazing line to go out on, which is like, hey, he's pretty much just like, listen, I'll kill you this time, and then you can go and reincarnate yourself and try again. Yeah.
He's like on the Trump steroids at that moment. He's just rambling. He's the most insane. Except he's not as much of a narcissist.
Yeah. He's like, I will kiss everyone in this room right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Kenpachi knows what kissing is. Because, you know, Al, you know how we mentioned there's a favela? Mm-hmm. Well, he grew up outside the favela where people don't have shoes and are constantly just murdering each other day in and day out. Yeah,
they don't even live long enough to figure out what kissing is.
No. As far as he knows, kissing involves a blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lived in like Fist of the North Star realm.
Yeah. Like if it was just the fight scenes, we don't even have the time to establish villagers to be murdered. It's just people getting axed through the skull. That one shot over and over.
So the episode ends with some of the captains who have shown up for Rukia's execution. Not that many, actually.
Yeah. Well, half of them are trying to kill the other half at this point, it seems like.
Yeah. And some have already been killed.
So one of them is currently a blob.
Yeah.
Waiting to...
So yeah, there's this whole thing here where they're like, all right, well, looks like it's time for you to die. You got anything to say? And she's like, yes, and I'll say it next episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the end of that second episode there.
That's a good cliffhanger for a one-hour special.
Yeah, honestly. And before we get to our third episode here, let me take a quick break for some ads. Hey there, folks. Swanson here with an important question. Do you like winning? I mean, I'm sure you do. Who likes to lose? Well, I personally like winning season, and the only place I can find winning season is at MyBookie. Winning season, here's a couple things that it means to me, just sort of off the top of my head. Winning season could mean doubling your first deposit, could mean Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. And look, the NFL season is coming, guys, okay? I know we're all pumped to see some head-on collisions between a bunch of beefy men. And it's time to celebrate that at MyBookie. You also might be asking yourself, Swanson, you seem to be by yourself currently. And the answer is yes, I am. You might not know this, but Stairmaster bets on the ponies a little too much, if you understand what I'm saying. So this deal, it's between just us. And you can sign up now at MyBookie and make your first deposit and get dollar-for-dollar match all the way up to $1,000. That's right, you can grab yourself a free entry into the famed MyBookie Super Contest. It's famed for a reason, folks. To play in the contest, all you have to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread to have a chance at $100,000 guaranteed in cash prizes. The best part is, MyBookie has thousands of bets to choose from. The full NFL slate, the NBA playoffs, live betting, the championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. You make your picks, you win big, you collect your cash, unlike Stairmaster. Use promo code TVTuners and double your first deposit now. It's a no-brainer. Your winning season can begin today, only at MyBookie. Use promo code TVTuners. What are you waiting for? It's MyBookie.com. Great stuff.
You can bet on that.
So, we've got our third and final episode of this week's Bleachcast, entitled An Accomplished Oath. Get back, Rukia. we also didn't, talk about the new new ending theme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
It's whatever.
It sounds like Speed Highway from Sonic Adventure, the morning theme.
Yeah. It's whatever. It's like, nothing's gonna come close to the last two we had.
No, I think this is like the perfect. This is like perfect anime ED musical aesthetic.
It's fine. Like it's whatever for me.
That progression, the guitar progression. You know what I mean, Al?
This music theorist. No, I'm gonna leave you. Oh, I'm gonna leave you to die on this hill. It's.
Yeah, what do you think of this ending song, Al?
I honestly can't remember it. I'm gonna be totally honest with you.
Valid.
I mean, yeah, it's not. I don't think it's memorable at all. The other two that were before this were like certified bangers. But yeah, I would say this ranks like, I don't know, probably like second to last.
Wow.
Or brutal. Next to last.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway. Yeah, for this this third episode here, shit gets real.
I mean, it was already fairly real. Real.
Yeah, but now it's extra real.
Shit's popping off. This is the definition of shit popping off. I assume. I mean, I can only assume.
Well, yeah, literally pops off.
Like, a phoenix pops into existence.
Yeah. So everyone, we get a shot of, like, pretty much everyone reacting to the beginning of the execution where they're all like, oh, it's starting. Oh, no. Yes. We get this cool thing here that implies Ukitake is busy breaking the seal on this thing that's supposed to destroy the Sarate.
No, destroy the Sokyokyo. The phoenix,
oh, okay.
The weird pike. What is this thing that they're impaling her with? What's the word for it?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like a thing that falls on her. But instead it turns into a giant burning phoenix.
Yeah, it's kind of like a glaive or something.
Yeah, it's like a giant glaive. They were too stupid to figure out how the guillotine worked back then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they never visited, like, Europe, so.
Yeah.
There's so many ways they could have done this. And.
But yeah, so this, they mentioned beforehand, I don't know if they mentioned it in this episode, I think, but this thing has the power of like a million Zanpakutos.
Yeah, we do not know what the power of one Zanpakuto even means in this context.
Yeah, it's like a meaningless power level thing.
Yeah, it's not even clear how strong it is. Like, if this is as strong as it, if we've seen it at its maximum strength or not.
Yeah. So, the seal gets broken, everyone's watching, and we cut to, Ichigo's friends and,
the mustache guy? Again?
Yatoru, yes. Yeah. And Yatoru is like, alright, well, hey, I know Ichigo's up there, and him and Kenny are best friends now, so I gotta go, bye!
And she just,
speeds off.
And she's like, way.
I'm sure you guys can make your way there too. Whatever. See ya. Which is pretty much the show's philosophy on these characters at this point.
Character needs to be in position B, and they're currently at position A. How do they?
It's also just like all of these characters were real cool at the start of like the Soul Society arc, and now have been shunted aside in favor of all of these captains.
Yeah,
and
like
lieutenants.
All Goku's friends in Dragon Ball. What happened to them happened to these characters in like the span of 10 episodes.
Yeah. So we cut back to Rukia. We don't actually even get to see what she says. We just get the aftermath of what she says.
Oh yeah, she asked to have her friend spared.
Yeah.
After she's dead and gone.
The captain is such a stand-up guy that he lies to her face about it.
Yeah, so she doesn't cry.
Yeah. What a great guy. That's real mercy right there.
They have to preserve the dignity of the ceremony.
Yeah, it's some real like Obama shit right there. That's what he was.
Today we executed Rukia Kuchiki. Some of you were in attendance. I made a promise then, but now to protect the nation, we're gonna kill the Ryoka.
So yeah, this captain guy is no bueno.
The captain commander.
Yeah, he's no good. Don't like him. So even though all he really does in this is just go, interesting. So yeah, Rukia has this bit here where she's like accepting her potential death as this fire phoenix shows up.
Yes, the glaive explodes into a spirit animal, burning phoenix.
Yeah, and we get more reaction shots.
Yes. Literally everyone in attendance, we get to see their thoughts on this matter, which is some very nif. Whoa! And
here's the thing that might be even more confusing, Al, is half of these characters are just now getting introduced.
Yeah.
like literally all four people who fight at the end of this episode.
Yes.
Fall into that category.
And Soifan, who is the lady who was ordering around the big, like, dopey-looking guy.
Yes.
She literally had her first lines, like, three episodes ago.
Epic.
Yeah. There's this whole thing here where Rukia is accepting her death, cut to commercial, come back, and something has blocked it, and it's Ichigo with this cool new look.
Whoa. Yeah, he looks like Guts from Berserk right now.
Yeah, he looks cool as shit.
He's half bandaged. He's got a tunic from the desert on.
I'm kind of confused by this. Is that tunic and the thing connected to it the thing that's helping making him fly? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. I thought he had a thing on his arm last time.
But that thing has, like, a way of, like, looking. It's like a, it looks like, yes. a, it looks like a, yeah, like, it doesn't
but
look like
it didn't
like
look like he had it here either. I've wondered this myself for many years. Yeah, but you're not supposed to be able to float in Soul Society. For some reason, ghosts can only do that in the real world.
Interesting. More Mary Sue stuff going on in this.
It's like when Goku can suddenly read Krillin's mind.
That makes sense, because this is sort of just, this has major Goku comes to Namek energy.
So those lieutenants are just Jason Birder.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. The way they get dispatched so quickly.
And I guess we just skipped to Frieza. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone's like, "Who's that? Who's that handsome lad?"
Yeah. They're like, "Whoa! He looks so buff and cool."
I'm pissed off about how hot he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's Soifan or Byakuya. Probably both.
Probably both. Byakuya looks both pissed off and aroused at the same time when he sees Ichigo.
Well, his blood pressure is up, Swanson. Of course he's going to get hard.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Is that how that works?
I don't know.
People with high blood... Wait, hold on. Are people with high blood pressure just constantly erect?
Maybe. Maybe that's why the Viagra has that disclaimer. If you're constantly hard, email us.
Yeah, write in.
Or DM us on Twitter.
Yeah, you know what to DM us. So yeah, Ichigo's got this cool new look. And pretty much this like middle half here is Ichigo just being all like strong and cool.
And telling Rukia off.
Yeah, Rukia's like, you shouldn't have come here, you stupid idiot. Why did you do this? And he's like, hey, I did this for you.
You made all of us feel like shit going off to die.
Yeah. they make a big deal of the fact that he is literally blocking this giant fire phoenix with the power of a million Zanpakutō toes, just like sort of casually with his sword.
Yes, which would imply it's strong, but it's not like Ichigo's way stronger than all the captains there, because the whole point is he has to fight this one captain, mm-hmm. and it's not clear whether he'll win or not.
Yeah. But he is clearly stronger than all of these lieutenants.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know.
We have that emotional moment of them bickering. But
I'm curious for Elle how confusing this was, because the way you were explaining it before, you thought that Ichigo was in this like life or death battle that gets no follow-up, and he's just here all of a sudden.
I was like, okay, now is when shit's truly gonna pop off. I don't know what that crap was before, but now, now there's gonna be this like civil war, and this is when it became really clear. Like I mentioned earlier, like this is not like normal. this is a bunch of people who would not normally be fighting.
Up the world government flag in one piece.
There's also, I don't think we mentioned this, but there's a bit where Kenpachi stops fighting just to be like, looks like execution time's here.
Yeah. And this whole time, I should probably mention this. This whole time, I'm just sitting here wondering what such a seemingly innocent young girl could have done to deserve this crazed brutal ritual execution.
Okay, so at the start of the series, Ichigo's just a high school boy who can see ghosts.
Well.
But then he meets a Rukia Soul Reaper. Well. He's never seen one before, and he accidentally interferes with her hunting hollows, which are like fallen spirits that have sort of gotten corrupted and insane. So Rukia gets really injured by this hollow and has to give Ichigo her spirit powers in order to kill the hollow. And so Ichigo becomes a Shinigami. Apparently that's illegal. But also every person of authority in Soul Society is just like, hey, isn't this a severe punishment for that?
And it took 53 episodes to get to this point.
Oh yeah, one captain's like, hey, this is really weird that we're doing this ritual, this elaborate ritual for our greatest criminals on this minor offender. And then he got stabbed with his own Zanpakuto and was left for the public to find.
Classic.
So we get to this bit here. The soul bird is getting ready for a second strike, which theoretically
may or may not be dangerous.
Yeah, which theoretically could just destroy Ichigo right there. We don't know because we don't really see it.
Ichigo doesn't probably seem afraid, but everyone on the ground seems afraid that he'll die.
Yeah. So instead, Ukitake makes it just in time.
Yes, bisexual and, queen king Ukitake shows up with this weird gauntlet, this emblem he stabs into the ground.
Yeah, queen and king.
Well, just because he has long hair does not mean he's a queen.
Well, we don't know what he's up to, other than the fact that he is sort of pseudo-canon bisexual.
Well, he does have a male and female underling competing for his affections.
Yeah.
So the favorite one over the other.
This part made me so fucking hype when Flower Coat Guy's like, hey, sexy, about time you showed up.
He literally says, hey, handsome.
Yeah. it was like the team up of the century. Like, I was fucking like, it's like how people got all, like, when people get all excited for, like, shit in Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah. I think this is like the first time they're actually on screen together in this scene.
And they, like, Soifan's like, we can't let them get away with this. They're going to destroy the Sioku. And he's like, okay. And they're like, all right, let's go stop them. And then they don't. They just do it.
Okay, so Yukitake, they destroy the Phoenix. And Ichigo's like, hey, look, Renji's here. And Renji's like, a literal mile away.
Yeah, like.
By the way, this execution taking place on a literal giant cliff plateau.
And then he pitches Rukia to Renji, like, you know, like Tom Brady.
At the speed of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. They play a game of catch with Rukia as the ball.
Right after saving her from her execution in a move that could very well have killed her, you know, in itself.
But she's like a normal human being because of her.
Also, he pitches it at Renji, a guy who, even a mile away, is clearly fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he, like, doubles over in pain.
Came within, like, inches of death.
Lost 3/4 of his blood like 15 minutes ago in the universe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before this, Ichigo does some more cool shit where he's just like, all right, now I'm going to destroy this execution stand and starts swinging his blade by like the little fabric on his hilt.
Yeah, that's the one time in the series he does that.
Yeah, which is a shame because it's cool every time he does it. So he destroys this thing and everyone's like, whoa. They don't explain what is special about this. But it is big. Apparently special.
It's big. That's how you know it's special.
Mm, that's true.
And it's on top of a giant cliff. That's also how you know it's special.
Oh, yeah.
A mile-long cliff.
So, yeah, he tosses Rukia, and he's like, Renji, get out of here. I've got all these people to deal with. So he shows up, he lands on the ground, and this is when, like, he starts doing some fucking Spike Spiegel shit.
So number one's that, no, you feel like number one. Song starts playing.
And so to showcase how powerful he is, he doesn't even use his sword. He just plants it in the ground. These three lieutenants all unleash their Shikai.
Four of them.
Four?
Yes. The tall, short-haired butch lady. The short, bisexual guy is lieutenant. Not fake lieutenant. The old French guy. Potato chips guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The fat potato chips guy gets it the worst because Ichigo just kicks him in the stomach and immediately shatters his sword.
Yes, he hit his chain and ball. Ichigo just catches it with his fist and punches through it and also kicks him in the solar plexus.
He starts doing this, like, this kung fu shit on this guy where he's just kicking and punching these people, not even using his sword. Everyone's like, what the hell? Yeah. And then he hears footsteps coming behind him, and he takes his sword just in time to block the Byakuya. Yeah.
Yes.
That's fucking awesome.
That's cliffhanger. Yeah. I wonder if Ichigo will die. I wonder if those two guys will get face any punishment for breaking the Phoenix.
Yeah, who knows what'll happen.
I wonder if one of the other captains will just murder Ichigo in the back.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's it for these three episodes. El, I'll let you go first. What were your thoughts on these?
It was definitely an interesting experience. Overall, I would have to say that I really enjoyed it. I love a good shonen. I love a good,
Oh, you love it when they're showing off. This is what we go to the genre for.
Yeah, I love it when they have superpowers and they fight. You can't not love it.
And you love it when the superpowers are more than ever before.
Yes, the superpowers were definitely more than ever before and more than meets the eye. I would say one thing though.
None of it made any sense.
Yes. Well, aside from that, as a seasoned anime watcher, there are some things I noticed.
Like how hot everyone was?
Well, yes, there was that, which is one of the positives. I don't know if we mentioned the Megane Shoujo, the glasses girl, but man, she is so cute. And also that other lady, I think she had like purple
hair. She gets zero fights.
Yeah. But no, one thing I kind of noticed implicitly while going through this was, mm-hmm. I do want to watch Bleach now, but
I'm sorry.
One thing I noticed is the pacing. I was like, I watched these three episodes, and then this whole time, Rukia, she's been just like walking to the gallows, and like it's only you know what I mean. It's one of those things that you just notice, and it's like, yep, that's that classic pacing. You know, there's also the classic.
It's better than Gundam, at least, where there's nobody going to no gallows. And
well, with Gundam, it's
weird. But you have to pretend that someone is.
With Gundam, it's weird because essentially what you have is stuff happening in every single episode, but it basically is just a reason for the robots to fight, and everything more or less goes back to the same spot it was at the beginning of the episode. But anyway, yeah, so I really liked this. I might investigate it more. Also for the reason of, just kind of filling the hole in my knowledge,
And heart.
Yeah. A while back, some years ago, I had this kind of revelation when I finally played games like Assassin's Creed and Halo, and I was like, wow.
This is trash.
I was just a complete elitist, these are actually good games in their own right, and just because they're super popular doesn't mean that they can't be
Hold on. You're not telling people to watch Western media, are you? You're not doing this shit on my anime podcast, are you?
I'm not gonna start saying stuff like, oh, go watch Legend of Korra or something. Like, I've never watched that. I don't know what that is. It's probably trash.
I've never even heard of the word lesbian.
But no, so that's kind of my takeaway. Cool ideas, some awesome designs, some just hype moments. You know, you can't have a shonen show like this without just hype. So
yeah,
it's sort of like pro wrestling. You're just trying to get that mm-hmm. thrill. Mm-hmm.
And this is like good pro wrestling shit right here. These three episodes kick so much ass.
This may be the best three episodes in the show.
It definitely felt like there was a lot of like pent up energy that was just being expelled. And like, I could feel that.
It's really hard to build up that energy in a show about fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, all three fights that are coincidentally in the three episodes. I guess the third one isn't really a fight so much as just a selection of very cool moments.
It's like when Jackie Chan uses the ladder on those people.
Yeah, like everything kicks ass in this show. There's to make like compared to what we got last week or last episode. These three episodes more than make up for.
Yeah, there was no cock and ball torture in this episode in this week's, and not the good kind.
these episodes kick ass. They're like the strongest tune-in possible. These might be the strongest three episodes in a row of Bleach.
It's all downhill from here, baby.
Well, we're going to find out, you know?
That is, we all know.
And, you know, this feels like a good time to mention, since we're three episodes of the Bleach cast away from the end of the Soul Society arc, that's going to be where we're going to take a little, where we're going to say adieu for the time being of the Bleach cast.
Permanent sabbatical.
Yeah. We might revisit this down the line, but, you know, things are...
The Bleach cast itself might go to Soul Society.
Yes. And, you know, after the Soul Society, there's this whole big gross filler arc that we don't want to, like, think about.
That's Wonton Head's nightmares of...
Like, it's when I stopped watching the original anime. So, you know, it seems like just a good time to sort of leave it for the time being.
But we will still be doing Western garbage.
That's right.
Like Kings of London this week.
Yeah, you can see it on our main feed, TV Tuners, where we tell you all about the latest and greatest in TV, or British imports sometimes.
It's not television, it's British.
Yeah, it's not.
It's telly.
Yeah. They call that, they got the telly up there.
They call it a tube.
It's the
monster on the TVs.
It's the moving pictures in the black and white. That's what they call it. I don't know what.
Yeah, this week we discussed Kings of London, the colorized for the Western edition.
You can check the TV Tuners out every Tuesday, and we'll be back next week with more Shinigami. Until then, keep soul reaping. Bye.
Kai.
Your fang will never reach me.
Ouch! Your fang!